Welcome, everyone, to our New Year's blessing for 2017. This is going to be a very powerful blessing today, so I want to recommend that all of you be very hydrated, have a glass of water while I'm offering some presentations from Yeshua today. I have some very special presentations that he commended me to make, especially for this year. This is a year that's going to be moving forward with the greatest efficiency, and it's going to be striding forward with a sense of leadership. If you feel called into leadership, step forward. If you know of someone who is qualified to lead in any constructive direction, support them. This will not be a year that sorts the laundry, washes it, culls out the bad pieces, and washes it again. That was 2016. 2017 is moving forward with an efficient and vibrant, enthusiastic stride. There will be a lot of expansion this year, and that expansion will be definitely coordinated with those who will step up to lead. And so whatever you've had in mind to offer the world, really take it into your prayers, into your meditation, into consultation with God, with the Holy Spirit, and be prepared to move forward. We have done our laundry. We have cleaned our closets. We have taken our vitamin pills, said goodbye to things we needed to leave behind. That was the year 2016, and we are shaping up a very, very new future. And in order to launch that, we are actually going to be joined by a host of angels, and I hope all of our blessing givers will join in the blessing today, because in giving the blessing, you will receive. And I really do want to talk about the blessing and what it is. But before I do that, I want to talk about two other really important aspects of the blessing and features that we all have been given as children of God that make the blessing possible, both for giving and receiving. Yeshua said, he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lampstand and then put it under a bushel basket. Instead, they set the lampstand out where it will illuminate everyone and everything in the house. This is what I'm talking about with leadership. It doesn't mean that you have to be elected the chairman of the Lions Club or the Ladies Guild or a political office or start up a business and have a company under you. It doesn't necessarily mean that kind of leadership. It means for you to let your light shine so that it begins to make a difference for other people around you, that you know, you realize that you are the light in your family. You are the light in your office. And maybe in terms of ranking order, you're at the lowest rank in that office. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your rank and level of responsibility is. You could be the gardener for a great corporation, simply keeping up the grounds. And yet you're the one that gives light to everybody arriving and leaving every day. I hope you see what I'm saying, because the status that we have worked to achieve in the world, in the dynamics of worldly performance, are not necessarily the same as the dynamics of our relationship to God in terms of how He's bringing His light to the world through others. As Yeshua is quoted to say, and this is John 9:5, He said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, he actually didn't, that's a very interesting thing I want you to observe, because I think John quoted him accurately. He was putting his presence in the world in a very clear time-space context. He did not say, "I am the eternal light." That would be God the Father. He didn't say that. He said, "While I am in the world, I'm the light of the world." Now, he was preparing the apostles. He was preparing the apostles to become his replacement as light in the world. It's a very, very important thing that I'm telling you here, because it works in with something else so important that he taught. The apostles asked him, they said, "Lord, why do you speak to them in parables?" And, of course, they were referring to the congregations on the hillside. And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not yet been given." Okay. He made it very clear to the apostles, not ever, that they were better than the people on the hillside, but that the people on the hillside had not yet prepared themselves to receive the full and complete message. They were not yet ready to have the full shot of his precious revelations. So there is a level of preparedness that we must apply to and work with as we come into the presence of God. And we were given the Holy Spirit as our counselor and teacher. And in the translations of the New Testament that I find to be the most authentic, accurate, going right back to the original Aramaic, the Holy Spirit was referred to as the counselor, the teacher, the one who would teach us that which we needed to know. So, Yeshua said to the apostles, he said, "I will leave with you the counselor, who will then teach you everything you're not yet ready to know. You see, Yeshua could have taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John everything, but they weren't ready. They were more ready than the people on the hillside, but they weren't ready to know everything. And I believe that this is the real meaning of the most misunderstood book in the entire Bible, the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations has been used by so many people as an instrument of fear and judgment, of condemnation and threat and exemption to weed out the worthy from the unworthy. And it was the whole meaning of that book can be revealed to you, can be understood by anyone in the very title of the book. It's all about how the greater revelations will come to us. Because that was the most common question the apostles asked Yeshua. Lord, how will we know? And Yeshua would answer them. He would say, not even I know everything until the Father reveals it. And we see, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he sweated tears of blood, wanting to know the answer. Not because he wouldn't surrender. Of course he would. He would have done anything. He just wanted to know. And he didn't know until the soldier showed up. You see, sometimes we just don't know until the moment God reveals it. And it's so very, very important for you to understand that. Why? So you don't miss it. Because we could run right past that. We could think that the revelations of God always come either in terms of verbal messages or messages from others, or maybe in dreams, dream time or visions, or something we read in a book, or some kind of advanced warning or advanced knowledge. I want to tell you, the Lord of life didn't know whether he would be spared the arrest or be arrested until the moment the soldiers showed up. Even then, on the cross, he did not know for sure whether an angel would come and lift him off or he actually would die. This is proven in the scripture because he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Which shows he was hoping right to the last minute. Right to the last minute. And then he surrendered. He knew. He knew right then. But not till then. But he has left with us the counselor to our spirit to help us be prepared. That is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to each one of us. There is none unworthy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here without judgment, without reservation, without condemnation, without anything but unconditional love. However, and there is one however, we have to be willing to receive it. And that's what the blessings are all about. It's helping you to open up your various defenses that could exist emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, on all levels, and we all have them. We build up defenses against hurt, against, we even cultivate defenses on our skin to protect us from toxins in the environment. And believe me, they're there. And this is why after we take a bath, we put lotions on our skin to protect us. Well, the blessings help to penetrate all of our defenses so that the Holy Spirit can be more available on whatever level you're ready to receive. And you are just as loved, just as worthy, just as welcome to the presence of God as John, Luke, Mark, and Mary. But you're probably not as ready as they were. You see, Yeshua made them ready by working with them. And that's why he could then say, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but these others have not yet been prepared. And the book of Revelations is all about the various levels we all will have to go through to be more prepared. And some of those levels of preparation involve making some really profound choices about our life. They have to do with encountering the dark side of life and making choices against it. They have to do with being presented truth and opportunity and being willing to receive that. These revelations have to do with discovering again within ourselves the innocence of our own creation when we were likened to the image of God, and making ourselves worthy to be a bride unto the bridegroom. If you read that book only as how the revelations of the Holy Spirit will be given, then you understand the mystery of it. And we offer a very, very beautiful way of taking the layers off and making you ready to receive and then convey the blessings of the Holy Spirit in our Christ Blessing Seminar. I wish I could do it online. I really, really wish I could, because then I could do it for thousands of people at the same time. But there's something about this spirit that really requires the physical touch, the words, the eye contact, the actual physical conveyance of energy and of being present with one another to receive it collectively. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost, which is when the original church was founded. It's when the Holy Spirit was given truly to the apostles so that they could go out and do their work. And the Holy Spirit came like a whirlwind into the upper room where they were gathered. And it formed literally, well, I think, not the consuming flames of a campfire, but the spiritual flames of illumination. which they could see. And they could understand all people in all tongues. They were that illuminated. It was so powerful. And this is the way the power of the Holy Spirit comes. At the end of our seminars. At the culmination. After the preparation has been done. And the various levels of readiness and baptism. And joining in community and joining in heart have been prepared. And now we are doing it by the sea. By the sea where the waters of the earth convey this blessing to the whole world. I think that this will be the most powerful of our blessing seminars ever. And made all the more powerful. For several other reasons. One was the cleansing transformation year of 2016, in which we all had to look at the lint at the deepest part of our pockets before we put it in the laundry, and then we did our laundry again. It's what we had to look at for our life. In some cases, it's what we had to suffer. In many cases, it's what we had to let go of. In other cases, that which we had to give and serve. In some cases, what we had to heal with faith. That was a very, very challenging year. And in that year, I was revealed many, many new parts of the blessing, including forgiveness as I have never, ever understood it before. And again, why couldn't I understand it? I simply wasn't ready to understand it. You see, we understand according to our readiness, but we can then activate in others what is virtually ready. See, this is what I want you to understand, is there's such a thing as virtual readiness. It's like the apostles. Yeshua made them virtually ready. They were in a state of virtual arrival because of his preparation of them. But then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and activated what they had been prepared for. Then they went out and they took the message to all the many, many churches, the many congregations and groups of people who were gathering to hear the teachings and the life of Christ. And they served and gave their life in preparation until the moment when activation occurred. And you can read in the letters, the beautiful letters of Paul, often written from the prison of Rome. And these letters were meant to activate. If you feel that you're ready to be activated on the highest level of love, I would recommend you read the letter of Paul. On his recitation of love. And so many other messages that he and the other apostles prepared for you. This is what people tell me in reading Love Without End. They say, you know, they'll write me, they'll say, Glenda, I read it and couldn't put it down. I was so immersed in the revelations. And then, after that, I would read it again, and on the second time through, something would activate that I wasn't ready for the first time through. And then I read it again, and something else activated So there is this dynamic power of preparation. Well, I would say it's preceded by something even more basic to that, and that is a calling. Do you remember a time when something got your attention and you felt God was calling you? Or perhaps the Holy Spirit, or Christ, or an angel. Maybe it was a dream you had, or something that happened between you and another person, and you got this feeling something was calling you, calling your attention. So you explored the calling. You might have explored it in lots of ways, maybe by talking to people, maybe by just keeping your eyes open to books you saw on a bookshelf and said, you know, I think it may be in there. Or things you would see in the world and you say, you know, I think it might be that. You would explore further. And then in the exploration, you would find a way to prepare yourself for greater understanding. And then you would gain greater understanding and greater understanding. You know, it's so interesting because The Keys of Yeshua was written in 2003 and published in 2004. I thought it would take off like a rocket. And when I questioned people about it, they would say, well, I started reading it, but I put it down because I couldn't stop reading Love Without End. And I didn't really understand that until later. But I've realized that the many times through Love Without End were still activating. They were still activating, and people weren't ready for the next calling. Now, The Keys of Yeshua outsells Love Without End. You see, this is how it goes. And I thought the same thing about The Way to a Greater Life, and I'm looking at, it's going to be the same way. People will be curious. They'll feel a calling. Then they'll read it, and they'll see, I really thought that would be an excellent book for preparing people to serve God more effectively, with less of the human ego in the way, because it tells about the lives of saints, and there's not a single saint who ever lived that wasn't an ordinary person, just like you and me. You know, they still ate and slept and drank water and occasionally lost their temper and got impatient. They occasionally lost their faith, and so many of them actually had serious illnesses that didn't even go away during their sainthood. They were people. But they were people in a level of deep preparation. See, that's what I want you to understand. And that's what the book of Revelations is trying to tell everybody. And nobody gets it right. It's first about the calling, then about the preparation, and then about the activation, and finally about the revelation. See, there's that sequence. And what Yeshua has made it so beautiful and so easy for us to do now is simply come and attend a Christ blessing seminar. It will change your life. And it's not about you going forth and offering the blessing. It's about you being the blessing wherever you go. On Sundays, you may choose to join us and offer the blessing, because when you offer it, you become it more and more and more strongly. And there's not a blessing giver in our group who wouldn't say that. They have said, I thought I had it when I graduated, But every time I offer the blessing, more of it activates. You see, that's what I'm telling you. It's an endless process. Even for Yeshua, after the resurrection, he returned to the apostles and he taught them and he taught them and he taught them. And then the ascension came. You see, the process of our union with our Creator and our reunion with God is an ongoing process. And that process has certain identifiable steps. The first step is getting your attention, the calling. If you have a curiosity, if you have a calling, follow it. Look at where you're being called, how you're being called, and allow that to lead to greater and greater preparation. And then as you prepare, notice the moments of activation that come. But it won't just be one moment. It will be many, many moments of activation. So for me, 2016 was the depth of activation. I wouldn't dare to say the final one because nothing's ever final, but it was the depth of activation into what the blessings can offer for those in the deepest trenches of suffering. It might be compared to the way Yeshua, it is said, but it's not in our official gospel, but in several of the apocryphal gospels, which I believe in many cases are just as authentic. They just didn't quite fit the theology of those at the time who were shaping up the theology of the official church, not the first church, but the later official church. They discerned based on what they thought was the correct theological position of the church. But there's a lot of greater truth that were revealed in the documents discovered in the Nag Hammadi, the documents that showed up in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then from comparison, we can see how true were elements in the book of Thomas, in the book of Mary, and other books that are now under very close observation and study and scrutiny, because we're finding there were great truths. And it is said that in the 3 days of actual death, Yeshua went into the depths of hell and gave the opportunity for redemption and freedom and resurrection to anyone who would recognize a calling back to God. And that's what I want to really, really make clear. So many preachers have said, do you take the Lord as your one and only Savior? There is not one mention in the Bible anywhere of the word salvation. It doesn't exist. He did say to the apostles, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But that goes along with what I told you in the other quote. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He qualified that. He was the most lighted person. But you see, what he was demonstrating to them was the power of the calling. It starts as a calling, my friends. That's all it takes is a calling. Recognize the calling. Because the calling alone won't take you all the way back to the throne of God. That's a misunderstanding that has been perpetuated in order to manipulate congregations of people. The calling is the first step. It's a very, very important step. You can't miss it. You can't go without it. You must feel the calling. But then the calling goes to preparation. And that's exactly what Yeshua was doing with his apostles. He was preparing them. And while he was preparing them, he was calling the rest of humanity. You see how it works? And then, on the cross, he was preparing them and everyone who witnessed it for further activation that would come later. And then more and more and more activation that would come later. So I am extending to you and everyone in our Spiritus family, in all of those who love Yeshua and want to be someone who gives the calling out, come in January, become a Christ blessing giver. Allow this to be your life. Allow this to become the way you prepare your life and a vessel through which you prepare your life and a blessing through which you then, without having to ever say a word, without ever having to preach a word, you are a light on the hill that becomes a calling to other people. In that, we will lead the world. And the operative word is lead. You will stand out as a light in the room, a light in your family, a light in your congregation, a light in the world that will make a difference in the world, not only this year, but for all the years to come. And so now it's time that we received the blessing. And I would ask that all the blessing givers will join me to offer this blessing for each person here, for all their needs, for all their challenges, that they may release the burdens of last year, that they may release the burdens and the illnesses and the fears and the doubts, that they may find within themselves the light that needs to be set on the lampstand to be the light of the world. We ask to offer this humbly to everyone in the name of the living Christ who is ever living and ever with us. So those of you who will receive, I just ask that you be seated, close your eyes, and allow your attention to fall into your heart. Just simply be open to whatever you can receive. And it doesn't matter how little or how much, for it is a calling that will then prepare you, and a preparing that will then activate you. And this is why so many blessings are more valuable than one. And we come again and again, and we continue our blessings to the world without end, love without end. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and then I ask that you say your prayer while we conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit. And I fully pray that this energy come to you as a powerful light in your life. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for carrying us through a year that was many times troublesome for so many of us and for the world. in so many ways, in so many levels of reality. We thank you for a new opportunity to move forward in your grace, in your love. And we thank you for being here with us today, being our light, our blessing, and our grace into a new beginning for our life on all levels, spiritually, physically, with our health, in our relationships, in our work, in our place in the world, and our ability to project into the world and see in the world the very best that we can, and to be the presence of leadership. In your name, amen. Let us all begin now. Amen. Your blessing has now been given. It's time for you to go and rest. Just lie down and receive. I wish you a wonderful, blessed, prosperous, healthy, happy, redemptive, and enlightened New Year. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week.